Viewer discretion advised.
What's up, Freakaholics? Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Creole. And tonight, we are talking about establishing and maintaining sexual boundaries. Joining me tonight is the usual crew, you know, Pressure P and Roshan. What's up, y'all?
Hi.
And we also have a special guest for today's episode. He go by D-Wag. What's up, D?
In that thing. We in that thing.
Yeah.
All right. So, Roshan, you got the floor tonight. So.
All right. So this episode, you know, it's going to be like more of like a serious episode, you know. You know, we just don't want to talk about all like the kinks and stuff on every single episode. So, you know, every now and then, you know, we got to get a little real. Because, you know, this might be a little trigger, like a little triggering, or, you know, it might bring up some PTSD for some of our listeners. So I'm just warning you now.
Hey, let's get it in. Let's get real.
So now we're going to be talking about establishing and maintaining sexual boundaries. And, you know, talking about it is important when having relations, you know, whether it's just like a one-night stand or like a regular thing or like a long-term, such as a marriage or whatever you might have, or a situationship, or, you know, it's so many labels now. But, for example, imagine if you are almost to your peak climax, you know, I mean, just in the moment, and you just, you know, about to go. And then all of a sudden, your partner, like one night stand or a spouse, say or touch you in some way that, you know, triggers something, you know, like a long term memory or like something that was suppressed. And then now all of a sudden you're feeling shame and or vulnerable. So now it's just like completely took you out the mood. And now, you know, you just like creeping down and, you know, shutting down, and trying to say what's wrong and stuff like that. You just nothing instead of addressing a situation. So this is going to help, you know, hopefully it helps a lot of people learn how to talk about the sexual boundaries. So, which this is going to have quite a bit of a subtopic, because, you know, you have to cover a lot. So, but we're going to keep it close to boundaries as we can. So, the first thing that's going to be related to the sexual trauma. How do you guys feel about that? You know, how sexual trauma can affect the way you communicate and establish sexual boundaries.
Ooh, who want to go first?
I mean, I can go first. Let me chime in on that.
Okay.
Let the people understand that sexual trauma is real. Sexual trauma can come in all different forms and all different shapes. You never know who's been sexually traumatized until you know.
Yeah.
Okay, look, let me put it to you like this. Like you said, you could be right there ready to go, and then all of a sudden, boom, something triggered them, and then they like freaking out, and you're like, oh my God, what's going on? Well, you don't know. Maybe they uncle, they daddy, they cousin, somebody older than them was doing something to them that they never told nobody.
Hmm.
I'm speaking from personal experience. Like, I've never experienced that kind of activity, but somebody that I was with in a relationship went through that kind of activity.
So how did that affect your relationship?
Okay, like in any relationship, physical contact is a must. I don't care who you are, what you're talking about, or how you feel, but physical contact, not necessarily saying y'all have to have sex or nothing like that, but physical contact is a must. You have to have that physical contact, the hugs, the kisses, the little touch, the little brushes. Y'all have to have that in a relationship for it to be healthy and you have somebody that's sexually traumatized in a way that's, you know, it messed with their mental to the point to where any little touch they deem sexual and they draw away from it because they had a bad experience with sex.
Right. And that's like, I mean, and yeah, like you said, like touch is very important because it's nothing like it, you know. But when it becomes like the touch becomes like, you know, triggering to someone's trauma in their mind, it's like, damn, I feel like I can't touch this person anymore. And if I do, I have to touch them a certain way or I can't touch them, you know. And like, you start seeing, feeling like you drifting apart from the person, even though it's nothing about you. It's all about, you know, their trauma and how it's affecting them. And then they don't want to get help, it's like, it makes it even worse.
It does. But at the same time, that's why everybody needs to pay attention to who they're trying to be in a relationship with. If you're trying to be in a relationship with somebody, don't go in it on a physical aspect. If you go in it on a physical aspect, you're going to fail every time. It'll never work because the whole relationship is based on a physical manner. So when the physical stops, then the whole relationship stops.
Right.
Pay attention to the person. That's all you got to do is just pay attention to the person.
Yeah.
If you don't pay attention to the person, then you'll never learn nothing about the person. You could be with somebody 20 years, but if you never really pay attention to them, you don't know them. You will never know them.
That's true. That is really true. And you got to have patience, too.
Exactly. You have to have patience.
Oh, yeah. Patience is a must.
P, what's your take on it?
Well, I've never experienced that, but, you know, I have family members, friends, and a lot of other people that's dear to me, close, that has happened to them. And, you know, they tell me all the time, like, they felt like they couldn't tell nobody, or when they did first, you know, they didn't believe them, you know, and the whole time they still getting molested and touched on. And sometimes it can cause people to just have a whole mental breakdown, because I have a family member that was touched as a young child by her uncle, and she bottled that up all the way to adulthood. Like, she didn't tell her mom. She was like in her 50s. It basically built up to, like, you stuffing stuff in the closet and then it just overloads, and it just, when it did come out, it just was too much. And she had a mental breakdown, and it's sad that, you know, you kids, adults, whoever, you know, could just be a woman too, that walking home or going to the grocery store and might get snatched up. Right. You just never know.
Right.
Men too, anything, you know, you gotta pay attention. And it's sad that people will carry that and it just goes on. And a lot of different races, backgrounds, people just sweep that shit under the rug, or they just wanna talk about it. Or, yeah. You know,
especially with the Black community, like, they really try to sweep everything under the rug, especially if it's somebody close to them.
Quick to say, oh, well, you know, you faggot, da 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 da, but
yeah, like, or you just have to be fast, and yeah,
all that type of stuff. And it's messed up because I was just reading an article about a woman, well, just got her degree, I forgot what it was in, but, or maybe it was her high school diploma, like at 50 something, but she had been raped as a she or nine and got raped. And like how her house was built back in the day, like, you know, when it's like in the church, one area you could walk into somebody's home, and the pastor or the teacher had raped her. She ended up finding out she was pregnant. He raped her from nine all the way till she was like 14. And by that point, she found out she was pregnant, and she being that young, she couldn't explain, like, what was going on. So she was just like, you know, Deacon so-and-so messed with me. And her mom was like, no, he didn't. And she just started telling everybody, oh, well, she fast, and da-da-da-da-da, when she found out she was pregnant. she forced her.
Could you repeat that again, Precious? She did what?
Until she come back, how about I say this? All behavior is learned behavior. If it's not learned behavior, then it can't be called behavior. It would just be called natural. People don't learn. People don't, you know, be born one day and, you know, they are a rapist. That's just who they are. No, they learned it from somewhere. It comes from somewhere. It doesn't necessarily mean they witness somebody being sexually molested against their will. That's not what it means. It means everything that we show the impressionable mind, they turn into their own. So if we show a person being forcefully, sexually molested, and that's what they wanted, then this impressionable mind who's not exposed to the actual world will grow up to rape somebody because they thinking that's what they wanted, because that's what they seeing, that's what they learning. And they're not actually learning everything. You got to teach them everything. Man, I have two small kids, and I make sure they know everything about everything that they want to learn. I don't know how to put it other than that. They need to know everything.
Right.
Yep. Most
of the people who grow up to be serial rapists or murderers are sheltered from the part of the world that they're fighting against, so they don't understand it. And what happens when you don't understand something? You dislike it. Off top is because it's a learned behavior.
Right.
And I feel for people who suffer all kinds of tragedies.
And traumas.
You can't suffer a tragedy without being traumatized. It's not possible.
Right. It's gonna imprint some type of trauma. Like with myself, like as far as my experience, I know, well, like when I was younger, I was touched on, you know, by a family member, and like it kind of fucked me up, like when I was growing up, because I mean I thought that's what you supposed to do, like, you know. And when I got older, I was like, is this the reason why like I'm attracted to older guys? Because the person was older, you know. And it got to the point where it got so bad where, like, it was a thing in my head. Like, I would have a fantasy. Like, I just wanted somebody to, like, if I was having sex, I wanted somebody to, like, hold me down and, like, take advantage of me. And I was like, wait a minute, what the fuck? I had to, like, regroup and, like, reprocess everything that happened to me, because I actually went to therapy, and my therapist pointed it out. And she was like, yeah, that was a trigger for you. And when that happened, it made you feel like that was like normal. Like that was normal. Like, and it became a fantasy. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't know it was that bad. Cause I know some people fantasize about that, but in my case, it was like, it was not healthy at all.
Can I ask you a personal question?
What's up?
At some point in time, if you felt like you'd have told somebody that your views on the way you are and the way you view things would be different? Not necessarily saying that your sexual orientation would be different, but the way that you view things would be different.
It probably would have, because I mean at the time, like that person told me, if you tell, you know, somebody that I will kill you. So that automatically put fear in my head. So I couldn't tell nobody. You know. But I feel like, I mean, he dead now, so it don't matter, but he did. But I feel like if I would have told somebody.
That's not what changes it. Them going away is not what changes it.
I know that. Like, I had to go within myself to do that. But I'm just saying as far as, when he died, I did feel a little better, but it did not help at all.
Oh my gosh.
I did. Shit. I was like, oh, this nigga dead. And it didn't help.
You didn't go to the funeral acting a fool, did you?
I did go to the funeral because I wanted to see him in that casket. I wanted to make sure he was dead. And he was dead.
But you didn't act no fool, though.
Oh, no, I didn't do it. Because then I felt like somebody would have, you know, they would have kind of put two and two together.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't tell nobody like, that shit when I was younger. So, but this life, well, my life anyway. But I'm fine now. I'm better. I went to therapy and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Shit is very serious.
It really is.
Well, I'm glad you did go to therapy because, you know, a lot of people, even in our, especially in our own community, feels like they're, I don't want no white man or black man, nobody telling me what to do.
Girl. Da, 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 da. Yes. Like, yes.
It's okay to seek help. It's okay to say I'm not okay. You know what I'm
right.
saying? And even with black men, you know, you they are raised to be like, oh, don't you cry. Don't, you a boy, you don't cry. Like, and then you wonder why a lot of black men don't show emotions or it's nothing like that. Like, it's okay. It is very much right. okay to cry if you're going through some things. And you don't have to be strong all the time. People go through True. Stuff.
True. So, that's the first thing they say, like, oh, that's for white people. I'm like, no, that's for all people, bitch.
Yeah. Because you like, never know. You don't realize how much you got built up.
Right.
Until True. You talk to somebody.
Exactly. Right. Because, I mean, I had an experience where, you know, I was just attracted to, back whenever I was younger, and I mean, you know, this is like a sensitive topic and whatnot. So, you know, back whenever I was younger, I was also molested and everything like that. And, you know, for the longest, you know, I just thought that it was okay to just keep doing it because I was constantly attracted to those who actually did that to me. And it's like, I got to a point where, you know, it's like, I would like fantasize about it. You know, be like, okay, well, I mean, yeah, I do got this person up over here, but if I can just be with that person that had, you know, touched me inappropriately one more time, that'd be good for me, you know, and stuff like that. And then
yeah.
the friends, he was like, bitch, that's not normal. He was like, that's not normal. And I'm like, I know, like it created like a psychological snap in my mind where it's like, that happened, but you know, I didn't say no, but I mean, I didn't say yes neither, but I mean, I just could have just stopped hanging around or, you know, stopped doing shit.
Yeah,
like
you
that.
Start putting the blame like, on yeah. yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, I always went to them with it, you know, and stuff like that. And then it was like, okay, but at the same time, they should have had the audacity to say no.
Right. And then,
it's like, you know, I'm a kid and you are, you know, I'm in my pre-teens, you know, I wasn't even teens yet. And it happened, but they was like well past that. So I'm trying to keep it discreet because I know that everybody listened to this. So.
Yeah.
But the thing is, people have to realize that, you know, trauma comes in different shapes, form, and fashions. It can happen to you any time of life and stuff like that. But, you know, that's going to bring me to, like, another part, too, dealing with sexual trauma, about the study that I read online with this article I read online. You know, I ain't saying no names because, first of all, they not paying me to put this shit out here. I mean, yeah. to put their stuff out there, and I ain't got time for it. But according to the studies, to the scientific studies, you know, people who actually went in and told the cases and stuff like that, they said out of 80% of the sexual trauma studies, only 34% of them actually were linked to childhood trauma. And in my personal opinion, yes, in my personal opinion, that number is not accurate.
I think it's higher. Yeah.
I really think it's way higher than that. You know, sad to say, but I really think it is way higher than that because it's like, okay, because I know a friend who said they would never open up their mouth about it. They're going to take that shit to the grave. So it's like, okay, so.
If they don't say nothing, then yeah. how to, yeah, that yeah. number can't be accurate.
Yeah, so that number cannot be accurate.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's That's what I feel about it. Cause you know, and you know, people think about sexual trauma, you know, they say, oh, well, you know, it's because a way older person, like an adult, they had committed pedophilia. But no, in some cases, well, okay, how do I put this without, because I mean, I'm just going off of my, you know, my experience and my information that I have. It's like, out of most of like the child molestation cases, yes, that's way older people, but sometimes it be the people right around your age, or maybe like a like a few years older than you or something yeah. like that, you know, they could be sexual trauma too as well, and it's not considered pedophilia because they're right at your fucking age. But then at the same time, it's like you're being molded to be, you know, thinking it's okay to do that or get treated like that at the same time.
Because if that person was a child and they did that to you, it was probably done to them as well.
Exactly.
But they don't talk about that. Like, kids be touching on other kids too. Like, they think it's okay mm-hmm. because of something they experienced or something they saw. Mm-hmm. But they people don't talk to their kids about shit nowadays. And then they wonder why all this stuff going on. Like, hell, you need to speak to your kids.
Exactly. And then, you know, even whenever they do see it happen, and then, you know, they come out and be like, oh, well, this, that happened, or this person made me do this, or that person made me do that. Back in the day, only damn thing you got was an ass whooping and said, you're not supposed to do that.
That's it.
And then that was it. It's like, okay, me saying you're not supposed to do that, that's not enough. I need to know because now it's making me feel like I did something wrong. And, right. you know, I was put in this, in this predicament where, you know, I shouldn't even never experience it.
Right,
you know, so just don't, you know, it's like they just
want to. It all goes back to. It all goes back to what you were taught as a child,
right?
What you learned. It's all about what you learned. If we mm-hmm. were not taught properly, then we will act accordingly. We right. can't just. We can't necessarily say, okay, we can't hold them accountable, because we need to hold them accountable because they know mm-hmm. what's right. They know what's right and what's wrong, but they don't necessarily know how to act in a society that you want them to act in if you didn't teach them how to act in that society.
Right.
And then you parents that just don't care because yeah. of a certain group family
look, all parents care. We all no, care.
No, because this is what I'm about to say. Because this one girl, this mother, she knew her child was getting molested. About it, and she stayed with the dude. The girl had been saying, you know, people at the church, people, you know, everywhere. Like, and other family members got involved in to get like her taken away.
Now, I bet you times out of 10 when she was a child, she was molested by in some shape, form, or manner. She was molested. She knew it was wrong, but she didn't know how to stop it. Because
she they took a whole camping trip.
Look,
and
man.
She was in the tent with her, and she let
molestation is more than physical. You can molest somebody's mind, like
you most definitely can.
Have
some parents that just don't. You do have parents. We just not gonna like sugarcoat it because there is just wicked, and they do shit. Yes, it's taught yeah. and stuff, it goes down and down and down. You know, generational curses and stuff, whatever you want to call it.
Call it one curse.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just some parents that people out there in the world that's just wicked as fuck. Yeah. And they do wicked shit.
Yeah. They fucking evil.
Yes. And it's, you know what I'm saying? Because not all parents. And some of them wasn't ever taught to be not, you know, some of them wasn't taught, and you know, when you like, it's not something like you just automatically know, you learn it yourself. But you know, right. there's some parents out there in the world that's just, they don't be giving a damn, like, you know, basically electrocuting their child. Like this one mother was, they died, and that was her, it's called. But she liked the attention, so she was purposely smothering her child. And then the baby just about to stop breathing, she run, doctor, doctor. And when they console her, like she off of endorphins from getting attention, like she was purposely harming her child just to get attention. It's just, it's out there with psychological problems and they need to seek help.
That's called Munchausen by proxy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And these motherfuckers, people like, you know, it's really a lot of sick people. And America could sit here and help everybody else, but it's like we got our own homegrown we got people over here that like need help and they are not getting.
Because America only cares about one thing, and I'm not talking about us or normal, regular, working class people. I'm talking about America in general. They only care about one thing, the government. If they cannot make money, they do not care about it. It doesn't mean that much to them. Do you know how much money the American government made off the Black Lives Matter movement alone? Billions of dollars.
Yeah, billions.
If they cannot make money on it, they do not care about it. The reason they sent billions of dollars to Ukraine, you know why? Because Ukraine said, hey, you help us, we help you. You give us money to fund our war, help us win, we give you nuclear codes and weapons. Nobody's arsenal is bigger than the American government. That's why everybody fear us, but nobody likes us.
And it just goes to, and it just sad that people here that really, they're, you know, mentally or whatever, and
nobody cares until they commit suicide, and then everybody will be like, oh my God, they was just so happy the last time I seen them, and I don't know why they would do that.
They don't even care then. They just trying to get their little 15 minutes of fame, get that green dollar.
Uh-huh. And then they put them on a shirt, and then the next week they don't forget all about them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now we got like we got quite a bit of subtopics here, so we're gonna have to keep going on. So that's gonna bring us to our next subtopic dealing with with sexual boundaries, and it's gonna be hypersexuality. You know.
My view on sexual boundaries are, I guess you would say, out there, I guess.
Huh?
I said my sexual views, I guess you would say, were out there because I think flirting is healthy. I think
flirting is completely fine. Like, this is like hyper sexuality. Like, I'm gonna get into it so that way I can clarify, because I mean it's like different types.
Because it can be like an obsession.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So according to the definition of it off of Google, you know, with whatever, it says hypersexuality is sexualizing yourself more than the standard amount. So
I think I'm good.
You know, I had looked it up because, you know, I was really confused about this one because I really did not know a lot about hypersexuality. I just thought that whenever they do that, whenever they experience or show that they always got to have sex, they just have no self-control. But clearly it's a lot deeper than that. You know, hypersexuality is in most cases, it happens at a young age. You know, it's more than just physical contact and stuff like that. It's mentally, verbally, all that stuff. You know, it can happen at a young age. And, you know, it can come in the forms of sexual degrading jokes or comments, as well as appearance jokes. Like, oh, my God, you dressing like a hoe. You dressing like a slut. That's all you are. You know, for example, you know, stuff like that. And then, you know, that can make someone feel like, okay, well, if everyone's saying it, that's what I am. You know, that's how I view myself. So then they start to act like that. And when it comes to it, it's not simply a public performance, but also a internalized sense of self, you know, which can lead it to I need to get something to drink. I'm choking up now.
Well, I was saying it also goes into it. It's like an obsession with sexual thoughts, the urges, behaviors, yes. And it can cause people to get to have a negative effect on their health because are their job and relationships. Some people, when you have a over hyposexuality, like they might have a recurrent, right, intense sexual fantasy, and then it takes up a lot of their time. And they feel like it's beyond their control. They feel like they're driven to do certain sexual behaviors. And then after they release or have a release of the tension, some of them feel like super guilty or remorseful. Like some people, you know, they feel like, you know, like doctors and stuff, some of them are still like really not really well understood, but the sex addiction and hypersexuality, it also just, it's just a traumatic experience, distress. Yeah. It could be caused or by mental illness. It can really, you know, adults who abused or children may display increased sexual behaviors, you know, it just goes overboard into it. Some people, they really, really can't stop themselves. Like they got to 24/7 to where it's just affecting their daily life.
Yeah. You know, that's what I was saying, that it goes so much deeper than just, oh, you're just this because of that. No, it's actually a lot to it.
Yeah, it's we actually got a family member that's precious, you know who I'm talking about now. I feel like that's all they saw within their family. Like their mama was a hoe, the grandparent was a hoe. Like it was a lot of hoeism going on. And when it seemed like every time something triggers him, he like has to go. He wants to fuck. That's all he want to do. And I'm like, you need to learn how to control yourself and use that energy towards something else, like being creative and doing something else. He was like, I can't help it. Like I just want to fuck.
Yep. That's why I say flirtation is very important, because you know what? Hypersexuality has a lot to do with self-esteem. It has a lot to do with self-esteem. A lot of
people, there's a thin line between being a nympho and going into that thing, because I mean,
a lot of people have, I'm going to put it to you like this. I've read a statistic that 90% of the people who have sex on a daily basis multiple times is because they feel like that is the only way they can get the fulfillment and enjoyment out of feeling sexy or attractive out of anybody, their partner.
Nah, I like to hunch because I have sex drive. I'm not even gonna lie to y'all like that. I do. I have a high sex drive, but I'm also a person like very aware of myself, and I'm very sensitive. So I'll TKO a nigga. Like I just like I really do. But
you have self control with it though.
Sometimes.
Wait a minute.
Sometimes. No, like what I'm saying is, like if I'm in a relationship or I got a little sneaky link or whatever, then that's why I guess I be cutting people off a lot. Cause like if you don't, like say for example, if I'm going to be in a sneaky link situation, okay, you want to be my sneaky link? Cool. For you to have that dick ready when I call. Like, I don't want to hear nothing about all this other. I'm going to need it. Because when, especially if it's really good and my body, like if you satisfy, I'll probably be good for 2 weeks. But when weeks and a half going into that third week, my body gets a feeling and I gotta have it. But
what's she laying down that quality thing though? What's she laying down that quality PP?
If he is, then I'm going, especially if he my man, oh, we finna be fucking. That's the period. Yeah. And I don't care to be at a restaurant. We could be, I'm gonna sneak you off in the bathroom, play with you up under the table, stop playing with me.
But, okay, so what if a nigga drive a Dodge Ram 1500 and he decides you want to pull over the side of the road and fuck the shit out of you on the tail?
That ain't nothing. I done did that before. Like, I'm about that life. I'm about that life. Be on the top of bulldozers. I'm not worried about
it. With hypersexuality, see, I know a little something about that because that's something that I suffer from. It's a difference between being a sex addict and a nympho.
It is. It very much is.
The difference is a sex addict can't control when they're horny, when they need to have a nut. It's almost like a fucking drug.
It is, and you get high as hell off that shit. It really can.
I'm telling you this from experience.
I know.
I be having to hold myself together sometimes. Like, hold on.
I understand, but I'm a mind of business.
You be know like, how, Fred.
You I know. I be like that sometimes. But see now, if I don't. Like if I went 6 months to a year without having it, I'll have more stuff. But if I'm fucking, I gotta have it. Like, I used to be real bad at that shit. Like, I could bust nuts and I still be like, no, like dead ass. And then don't be a dude that make it to where like I can his command. Like, no, like that should be. That's why I just try to stay in my little bubble. And I just try to keep myself.
That's that quality. That's that quality D I was talking about. Many of us, not many of us, is blessed enough to know what we're doing. Some of us can go in there. Some of us can go in there and stroke and make it happen. But the ones that know what they doing, oh, they make it happen. When they want to.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true as well. Cause it'll get to it gets so bad. Like if it's so good, I could remember the experience. I could be like at work or something and remember it.
And
it should have tingled all over. Right. Or I just like pre-com and be like, oh shit. Yeah.
You need some water?
Oh Lord Jesus, Mary and Josephine.
It just be good.
Y'all too much.
Pressure, you be busting that pussy open, bitch.
You all in my damn business.
You been throwing it back.
What you mean?
You be throwing that pussy back, girl. It be gripping that D.
Let me hear about it.
I've come to the conclusion that I need
to tell you
myself because I have
analyzed the pressure P, and I'm telling you something without even experiencing it. I can tell you that motherfucker is a gold mine, and when motherfuckers fall in there, they don't know how to act.
Baby, pussy got some power.
That's why I just try to stay to myself because at this point, my shit too good to be given out to anybody. I don't want to be so tired with people.
P got that big P energy.
Dead ass.
He got that big P energy. I'm talking about.
Dead ass. Like, real talk. Just don't, you know, I'm tired. So y'all ain't got to worry about me. I'm going to stay off the market for a while.
The only thing whack about me is my name. What you talking about, Pete?
D-Wag, baby.
Now, wait a minute.
Why you get quiet, Preston?
Cause
I thing jump a little bit.
Make that thing jump a little bit. You must be talking about it. See, we are. When is the commercial break? When?
We're gonna take a quick commercial break, and we will be right back. So don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. All right, we're back, y'all. So, what's the next topic on it?
Okay, so now this one is going to be sexual boundary versus, I can't talk. Sexual boundary versus sexual consent. There is a big difference, people. There is a big difference. So one thing that is important to know about these two things is that they are not the same thing at all. Although they have something that over some things that overlap one another, they are indeed very different. For example, a sexual boundary is you always use condoms when having sex with individuals for safer and hygienic purposes. That's an example of sexual boundary. That's what you would tell your partner or husband, whoever it is. Now, sexual consent is an example of that is I've been knowing you for years on years, and yes, you know, I feel comfortable enough for you to have unprotected sex with me. So it's like, you know, it's like a big difference there. And now we're gonna get into like just a little bit something different is sexual assault, because a lot of people just think it's more of like a head-on forceful thing, but it's really not. You know, if they say, okay, they wanted me to use a condom, so I did put one on, but I end up stealthing them. Mm-hmm. So that is sexual assault. You know, that's when, you know, people take condoms and, you know, they like poke a hole in, or, you know, like,
oh, the tip hell no.
They, you know, they just like expose their head and stuff like that. Yeah, so, you know, that's a version of sexual assault.
People so, nasty.
I know.
Hold on, before you go again, that's some nasty shit. For you to do that to somebody, you got to be grimy as hell. Okay. You gotta be a grimy motherfucker to do that to somebody.
Yeah. So now, with sexual boundaries, that will help you in your partner or your sexual partner know what to enthusiastically participate in, allowing you to know what's on the table. You know, whenever you set your sexual boundaries. So, let's say,
So like a sexual boundary could be like, I like when you walk in the kitchen and grab my booty or grab my dick, but don't just walk in the kitchen and grab me by the neck and try to rape me.
What the hell?
I feel like it could be more like too, like a sexual boundary could be like how far they're willing to like take it, whether it's sexually or physically, because like enjoy oral sex, whereas others don't. And then sometimes people like try to probe other people's boundaries and push against it, like, oh, they might be like, okay, well, I'm asking you to perform sexually that they're not comfortable with doing, because exactly. You know, some niggas, okay, for some niggas.
Already know what you're gonna fucking say. I already know.
You better take my damn example away from me, Chris. But it's okay. I'm still doing it anyway. Go ahead.
You know, some people, some niggas, like straight men. You know, you could be like, hey, let me suck your dick from the back. Some of them be like, nah, cool, I don't think I'm gonna like it. And then some niggas be like, huh, let me try it. And then, you know, they be like, well, just don't put your finger in my... But, you know, or, you know, then some niggas might like to get their ass ate or whatever. You know, and some be like, hell no. Nah. So, like, but when people that's telling you, hell no, nah, I don't like this, but you still try it, like, you up against sexual boundary. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Exactly. Right.
I don't like nothing from the back. I don't care what it is. I don't like nothing from the back. If I'm stroking from the back, if I'm eating from the back, that's another thing. But I don't get near my booty. That is an exit only. That's what it made to be an exit. Exit. Nothing.
Oh shit.
And you know what's crazy is that, you know, a lot of people in like marriages or something, you know, for like example, you've been married for like 10 and 15 years, and then, you know,
I don't care. I don't care if we've been married for 30 years. You not finna stick your face in my booty and then stick your face in my face. That's just not happening.
You know what? That's like setting a sexual boundary, which is good, because like some of them, they just go in to just be like, well, you know what? They know not to do that shit. So
I ain't got to worry about it. And then they sit there. Let me ask you this. Now, this is real. Just being 100%. You eat booty?
Say what now?
Do y'all eat booty?
Hell yeah.
Okay, hold on. You like your booty, eh?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Now, if somebody said, nah, I don't like to do that, what you think about that?
Then it's okay, right. You don't like to do it, I ain't gonna force you to do it.
But somebody else out there will, so
okay.
Shit.
look. Now, if they sexual boundary is they don't like nothing anal, How do you actually feel about that?
Okay, there are other ways of having sex. I mean, you can fuck my throat. You can. I mean, we ain't got to do no booty stuff. Shit. Okay. I mean, if you want a girl to join, you can.
I got an ear fetish. Is there a sexual boundary against ear fetishes? I want to fuck the ear.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if you want,
there's some people out there that also have that. They'll lend you their damn ear.
I don't want to fuck no damn ear. That was a joke.
I'm just saying.
I'm gonna say, well, at least they gonna hear you coming. So hell. Huh?
Twenty be coming with every time. I love it.
Shit, they gonna hear your ass coming. Okay.
Hey, he be on it. I swear to God, he be on it.
But you know, but you know, that's what I'm saying. You know, it's like some people, they've been together for so long, you know, they just like assume other stuff without actually talking about it. And that could be very dangerous. You know, it's just like you said, y'all, and they end up slipping the finger. And that duty hold, and all of a sudden you wake up tied to the damn bed, smelling like gasoline, and he holding a lighter with Alicia Keys, singing some shit about fire. I don't fucking know. But you know,
it's shit.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know. I know my man.
I know my man. That's why I asked. You like how far? Everybody claims to be a freak until you encounter a freak.
Yeah. Until it's time to be a freak, right?
For real. And okay. I have to ask people like, "What is your boundaries?" Because I don't have that. But yeah, you really do.
Yeah, okay. You do. Everybody got boundaries.
Yeah. No matter. You like open your damn mouth and the shit in.
Yeah,
all right.
Like,
yeah. The people be saying they know their partner don't actually know them though.
That's true.
Right.
Because if you don't grow as a person, then what the hell are you doing in life? You got to grow. Everybody grows. Nobody is the same this year as they was last year. Uh-huh. Some people even make it a point to be different. So. For somebody to actually say that they know their partner, you would have to ask the question. Last year, when they was letting you stick their finger, stick your finger in their booty hole, are they letting you do it now this year? How do they feel about it? Yes.
You're gonna get me covered in a duty hole. have my duty hole on a respirator. I don't think so. Hey,
because people change over time, so yeah. It's like, you know, they might have a fantasy 1 year and then the next year they change, or
yeah,
you
know, but that's how you gotta keep stuff spicy in your room,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's why, huh? You know what's spicy to me?
What?
I wanna fight and have sex at the same time.
What the hell? That's a lot going on. You trying to beat them up on the outside and the inside?
I don't think he's gonna be trying to beat they, like, literally beat their ass.
I want you to resist me but accept me at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm. I've done that. That's that shit that'll steam up a vehicle window right there.
Heck
okay.
Yeah. And that's why when I literally be serious grabbing a motherfucker by their throat, they think this shit is.
I done told you about the throat grabbing. I'm gonna grab you by your eye.
So what if he grabbed Precious? What if he grabbed you by the throat and want to spit in your mouth? You gonna let him?
Ew, that's nasty.
You know what? That's one thing I haven't experienced yet. I don't know.
Spit in my mouth. I'll punch you in the face.
Yeah, but this is no, because I haven't experienced that. But, you know, I have had motherfuckers, you know, like, we grab each other by the neck, and then, you know, if I'm gonna stick my tongue out, and of course, you know, you sweet tongues, and now I'm biting, you know,
I'm gonna slap you a little bit, pull your hair.
Well, that's fine, too. I like that type of shit. So,
see how she tried to slide that in there a little bit.
The shit you talking about, I do that. He's gonna pay to get it fixed. It's okay.
I will fuck
okay,
up your
period.
I promise you, your next 10 years of life, I will fuck it up in one night.
Oh, wait a minute. I will have you
rethinking life. We can rethink this shit together, come up with a master plan.
Exactly. All right.
So stop playing.
It sounds like a challenge. P, you up for the challenge?
I am, but I'm going to sit my ass down. I am.
Okay.
I'm never scared. I'm not scared a lot.
Not that.
No. Maybe a lot of other things, but not that.
Not that.
I'ma sit out.
Sit right there on the edge of the bed and think about it.
You never mind. But so, like, anyway.
Yeah. You were saying?
Yes. About the sexual boundaries.
Hey, on the cool, I think we just crossed like seven of them boundaries right now.
So, you know, that brings us to our next subtopic, figuring out your own sexual boundaries.
I ain't got none.
So I can suck your dick from the back.
Hey, you better play with the balls too.
Hey,
because you know earlier you were saying you ain't doing no sucking dick and shit from the.
Right.
No. I was just saying that my duty hole is an exit hole. There's no entry. There's no rim. There's no tossing. No sights. There's only boo boo. That no, that is natural.
So that's a boundary, right?
No. It's not boundary. Look. I am a firm believer in, you know, heterosexual males do what heterosexual males do, and homosexual males do what homosexual males do.
It's some straight niggas that like they get their ass.
No.
I know a few of them.
Look, with all these definitions and hyphenations out here, ain't no way you can like you do the whole play with and just say you straight. Okay, you buy.
I'm not saying play with.
The duty hole. You are
good. but the male G spot is in the booty hole. So how can like that's your genetic? That's where your
G spot. My G spot is my penis.
No, it's actually
in the male rectum, but I understand that.
There is. You know, some enjoyment in that, but me personally, this is just me.
You ain't never tried it.
Look, I don't have to try it. I understand the studies.
I even heard
that some men ejaculate from being penetrated in the booty hole.
I ain't talking about you getting penetrated. I'm talking about having a female.
But look. Cause look. You're going to want to kiss me, right? After that. And I know what come out of there. literal toxic waste come out of there. So I don't want you to put that toxic waste in my mouth.
So you didn't clean?
Look.
I mean, you walk around with shitty booty. Yeah. You can't be walking around with shitty booty.
First of all, I ain't got no cookaberries in my booty hole. I like boogers. but there are still doo-doo particles on your booty hole. I don't care. Unless you douche your booty. Yeah, they do. But I don't want no penetration, so I'm not going to do that.
So you know, back to what you were saying about eating, and then they want to kiss you.
That's but see, if I nut in your mouth, I'm not gonna kiss you.
No. What if she's sucking your dick and then kiss you in the mouth? I mean, but doesn't your penis expel waste?
I'm gonna kiss you like it's the first time I done kissed anything. But see, that's the thing. It's just my preference.
It's your boundary.
It's not necessarily a boundary because you can't say, I can't say that one day down the line I may feel different. I'm just saying, you ain't never had mono before?
Mono.
What was that?
Mono. Do you know what the number one cause of mono is?
What is mono?
It's a bacteria. You get it from bacteria.
Okay, look. Back in the day, it was called the kissing disease. You ain't never had the kissing disease? Yeah. Make you sick to your stomach, throw up. That's from fecal matter, and fecal matter comes from the booty hole. And I'm not gonna let you lick my booty and kiss me in the mouth.
but hey, halitosis will do that to you too.
Hey.
You kiss somebody that got halitosis, you gonna be fucked up.
All I'm saying is, halitosis, booty hole licking, is not my. It's not my thing, man. I don't get down. But everything else, I'm game for. I'm game for everything except the anal play. I don't even go in the booty hole. Like, it don't even feel right to me. It's not like It's not nothing that's mental. It just doesn't feel right. Like, I don't get the same satisfaction that I be expecting, so I don't do it. But well, I know a lot of people that prefer it.
This whole part of the conversation smell like ass, so we're going to go to the next part.
It smell like medicine.
Shit.
Oh my gosh.
But hilarious. I noticed, if nobody else noticed, that P didn't have nothing to say.
You know what? I'm going to leave that alone.
Because I was thinking to myself,
damn, that nigga,
you said it's a tragedy.
Yeah.
But that nigga tear that shit up. It is, I know, but
I don't think she was talking about that.
But it's yes, okay. She was. So what was the next subject? It's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, I just don't get down like that. But hey, I will lick your pussy so goddamn good. You slap and down, I put the moon through that
mother. You don't shut your ass.
So now, you know, that brings us to another thing, you know, with discussing in your sexual boundaries and stuff like that. Because, you know, like, a lot of people have issues communicating with it, and you know, like, a good thing that you know that can like help with that is safe words, you know, safety words in a bedroom, you know.
I only use them unless I'm getting chucked and spanked or something.
See, that's safe words, you know,
that's
you use that's like pineapple,
that's how,
yeah, something like that. I'm you can call it what you want. Like I say, when I come out to play,
we don't need no safe word. We don't need no safe word. What do you mean safe word?
I'm gonna tell you, bitch, quit choking me so motherfucking hard, and then I'm gonna
that's a damn safe sentence. That's a warning. That ain't no safe word.
No. Okay. You know what that means? That means lighten up a little bit, but get more aggressive.
But that's what I'm saying. Some motherfuckers take shit too far. You gotta get ignorant. Like, nigga, what the fuck?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. That's how you gotta handle it. That safe word stuff, that's for white people. Who wanna hear in the middle of a sex? Okay, we having sex, right? Wait. We having sex and you here in the middle of sex. Orangutan, like, what the fuck? That throw the whole mood off of me. Like, why you talking about orangutans right now? just say lighten up or something. Like, you're going too hard. Like, I'm going to get motivated, but I'm going to lighten up, you know? Like, you ain't got to yell out pineapple. Like, we ain't worried about no fruit right now.
Oh, shit.
You know, make it sexy. Say, oh, shit, you hitting that shit hard. Lighten up, baby. Oh, I got you. I'm going to lighten up for a little bit.
See
what I'm talking about?
But see, it's enjoyable.
Yes.
It's enjoyable. I'm not taking advantage of you. You can get up at any moment, and I will make you feel that way. But you are going to take what I'm giving you.
Now wait a minute now.
If you stay, you're willing. I'm not in no way gonna force you. I'm not gonna make you feel
you're not holding no hostages or nothing.
No, not at all. But you gonna know what I'm putting down. You gonna know. It's up to you to make the choice to stay. If you make the choice to stay, verbal contracts and mental contracts are just as good as a written contract. They might not hold up in law court, but they'll hold up in civil court. You can sue me all you want, but hey, she didn't move. I didn't force her.
Well.
You're not crossing no boundaries. The boundaries were set. You could have said stop, No. I know. Until what?
Until she put.
What? Look, you done got off the line now.
Hello?
Rich.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Yeah.
What happened?
It was cutting out. I don't know. He probably lost connection.
I think he lost connection. Well,
oh, there you go.
Somehow I keep getting booed.
I see.
Precious said you was running.
Running? Oh no, never.
She said you were running.
Shit. That's how I plan on the dying. I ain't gonna lie to you. I plan on dying, trying to be the best of the best of the best, sir.
For what?
I promise. If I die any other way than in some pussy, I am gonna regret my whole life.
So that's how you want to die on top of her? You want to die on top of her like on Color Purple? Girl, how he died on top of me?
I like how you threw that her in there. You see how he put me, trying to put me on you, Precious? Why are you trying to ruin
me? I honestly wasn't thinking he was talking about me. I thought he was talking in general.
I wasn't. I was not. You see how he tried to throw that jab, though? I think he's trying to get you, girl. Hello?
Hello.
Oh, you cutting out, P.
No, he's still logged in.
It's like connected. Yeah.
Who got kicked out?
Your connection, babe.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah,
it's well.
Wait, he went with Sprint now. What'd he say? He ain't with Verizon no more. He don't say, can you hear me now no more. He with Sprint.
Okay.
We're going to have to start a GoFundMe. Look, Precious done logged out now.
She done left.
We're going to start a GoFundMe so she can get internet out there. Okay. Shit.
She been going straight talk get service everywhere. I don't care where you at.
Okay.
Hell yeah, that's fake.
I don't got straight talk though.
I got Verizon.
I got Verizon.
Oh, Verizon.
Verizon do you right. But anyway, back on topic.
Yeah. So what was the other?
So like look, if you gonna set sexual boundaries in a relationship, then that's something y'all need to talk about from the beginning. That can't be something that come up like in the middle of the relationship. Like y'all been together for 2 years and then all of a sudden you don't like this or you don't like that. Yeah. That needs to be something that's built up to from the beginning, because if you plan on being with somebody for a long time and y'all plan on experiencing certain things sexually, then that's something y'all need to talk about in the beginning, because y'all already know that at some point in time you're gonna want to experience some crazy shit. You need to make sure this person is okay with experiencing this crazy shit in the beginning, because when it comes down to it and you're ready to experience it and you ain't talked to this person beforehand, that shit could blow up in your face and it ain't gonna work. You ain't gonna need no boundaries, because both of y'all are gonna be splitting because they're gonna think y'all crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, people just need to realize that over time your sexual boundaries change.
So have any of y'all like experienced that though? Like you would be with somebody and then all of a sudden their sexual boundary changed on you, or they experienced their sexual boundary? Like while y'all were having sex or whatever, you know, whenever.
Yeah, like I said, you know, I've experienced it firsthand. this girl that I was with for almost 10 years, you know what I'm saying? Like, when we first met, bro, I promise you, we was having sex, like, every day. Every time we seen each other, it was like, pounce, like rabbits. And then, like, after, like, about 4 or 5 years, like, I started to notice, like, she wasn't, like, we would have sex, but she wasn't so into it. And then I was thinking, okay, maybe she cheating on me. But then I found out later that it was a lot deeper than that. Like, she wasn't cheating on me. Like, she had been raped from the age 5 to, like, the age 13 by her own brother.
Oh.
Yeah, damn. So... yeah, so all of the sex that we was having when we first met had nothing to do with sexual attraction. It was just the only way that she responded to her affection.
Wow.
Yeah, so I completely understand how it goes. When you be in a relationship with somebody and then that sexual boundary that they probably was hiding or holding dear to themselves because they didn't think nobody would understand, comes out and they might freak out or they might just like draw away from you. It's not always a dramatic effect. Sometimes
it's very subtle.
So did she like ever seek help for that, or did she like?
Yeah, she did now.
Uh-huh.
She did now when I decided I'd had enough, because man, that shit turned into something real toxic. I've never in my life been a violent person, but she turned me into one.
Damn. So do you think if she would have got help like while y'all was together, you think y'all would still be together?
Yeah, I do. That's just being honest. I do. Everybody has their person in life.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Damn.
Okay, so that brings us to the last subtopic that we have. I mean, it actually worked out perfectly. Well, as far as like time wise. So, it brings us to communication problem.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened. Be
a big part of establishing boundaries that they have communication problems. It's not that they don't want to talk about it. It's just that they don't know how to.
Yeah.
You know, because they never got help or anything like that. So, you know, it's like, whether it's in a relationship or sexual encounters or just friendship, there's many things, you know, you can that could be linked to commitment issues, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't even know how to pronounce that other, like gamophobic or something like that. Gameophobic. Gameophobia or something like that.
Oh yeah, I don't know what that is. But yeah, like I mean, a lot of people have like expression issues. You know, they don't know how to express. Sometimes they don't even know how to express themselves, so they show not gonna know how to express. You know, what problem they have or what trauma they want. Because you know, it all starts in the throat. Like you have to learn how to express. You know?
Like it all.
Them trying to set their boundaries, and then you know their sexual partner or husband or some just fly off the handle. Oh, you're just being dramatic. You know, you just don't want to do it. Just say so. You're gonna make all this bullshit up. You know, they very much lack understanding, and
because they don't know how to handle it.
Someone piercing.
It's somebody peeing.
that made me lose my train of thought.
I just weenie looking ass.
So So that brings us to, you know, if someone is like that, that's, first of all, it's very toxic. You know, it's many ways or reasons why someone can be that numb or dismissive to your sexual boundaries. You know, it can range from, you know, them being touched and then, you know, or mentally abused to being sensitive towards it. Or, you know, it could be them having like an actual mental disorder where they cannot comprehend other people's boundaries and stuff like that. So, you know, because I was reading this one article where, you know, it was like, if you set your boundaries and, you know, someone just fully dismiss them, they are completely careless and they are part of a problem. And to me, it shouldn't be approached as like a black and white situation like that. Because, you know, yes, it is a major red flag, but at the same time, it's like, you don't know what it is. You know, it could be that, you know, they are these foul, disgusting human beings. Or it could be like a mental issue where, you know, they cannot comprehend. Right. So, you know, huh?
What is this noise that I'm hearing? Like out in the tunnel.
I don't know who that is.
Must be D-Wag. Your boy D-Wag. It must be D-Wag.
I ain't doing nothing. It ain't me.
It's some background. It's some background noise somewhere.
That ain't me. That sound like somebody driving.
It do.
Yeah. Damn, we out here. It's some.
What the fuck? All right, look. Who got their fan on?
Who got what?
Somebody got their fan on.
Nah, that's not me.
No, because I mean, all of us can hear it, so it's coming from a different source because whoever it's coming from, they won't be able to hear that power. I don't know. Maybe we get some cross interference or something. I don't know. So,
but yeah, I mean, that was an interesting, you know, an interesting topic. Like, it really brought up some shit.
Yeah.
Like, for me, mentally.
Yes.
As far as boundaries and stuff, like, I mean, I'm still, as far as relationship wise, I'm still kind of, I'm working on myself, you know, like, still figuring out what I want and what I don't want. So, you know.
I think a lot of people is in that boat with trying to figure out what they want, what they don't want, or trying to just be content and have self-peace.
Yeah,
right.
I know one thing, Precious. Next episode, you better be ready. I said,
What's it gonna be?
Let's explore different sex positions.
I got a position that I like.
Okay, look now, we ain't with her. That's for next time.
I like the scissor. I like to do the scissor. Scissor.
Luke said he's gonna go over it anyway.
But anyway.
Yeah, sexual, we're gonna say that for the next.
Sexual boundaries don't only happen in consequence. Sometimes sexual boundaries are taken way out of context. Like, somebody might have some sexual boundaries and the other person might not know about it. Like you said, communication with this person ain't in a position to communicate with the other person.
That's true. Because I was talking to one guy, he did not like to be tied up. And he really... But you know, anyway,
did you try to tie him up? Did you tie his ass up?
That was like a thing for him because, like, he iterated before, And he didn't like to be like contained or nothing like that.
I've been in a clink before. Tie me up with my ass. But I tell
you, you know, some people is different, you know. And he asked, he really didn't like a lot of people in his space. Like, you know, he has the type of, he had the energy to where, like, you can most definitely feel his boundaries. Like, he really, you know, rub his waves or whatever. And he'd be like, normally I don't let people get too close in my space. Like, he didn't like people touching him. And he damn sure don't like people throat, but I couldn't help it because he was tatted up. So like that was where my hand was going straight forward. But he was like, nah, don't choke me. Don't be trying to tie me. Eventually he let me squeeze a little bit.
He got that's because he got prison PTSD.
That might be the case. So
that's just prison PTSD. He was in there deep.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But to each
man, case, going to prison is like going to war.
No, real talk.
Fuck this shit. I don't ever want to go. And you know, it'd be like, you'd be like, we'll be talking, or like, I'll be talking to some other gay dudes, and they'd be like, ooh, bitch, I love it. And I'm like, bitch, don't say that. That is nothing to be fantasizing about. That shit ain't.
That's because they not gay. They booty bandits. They predators.
Okay.
You know, it's like this
one that I
have. You know,
I don't care what sexual orientation you have. Nobody should like prison.
Okay, you know, that's what they do, trying to convince me on tonight. Yeah, you know, you're gay, but you know what? You'll be treated like a king or like a queen in prison. I'm like, first of all, I would not be treated like that because I'm not here for the girls.
Okay,
I'm like, how are you going to sell me on going to prison? How the shit is this?
They put your ass on auction, bitch.
Okay, I'm like, hell, I'm like, But you know what's crazy? He was talking about it's like he was selling it to me as if, you know, he was trying to sell timeshare. I'm like, what the fuck kind of shit is this? I'm like, no, I need to go somewhere.
He trying to get you to rent out his sales.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm
like, no, I'm good.
I got the perfect vacation rental for you.
Okay. I'm like, hell no, nope. I done seen the eyes.
Hell, I see. Yeah, that shit was crazy.
That man was in prison and he had him tied up like a little bitch. Wow.
Ours was a crazy ass show.
Yeah.
But it really showed what was going down in us.
Okay.
I don't know about that. Some of that shit that happened on Oz was fictitious.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine so for entertainment purposes.
Yeah.
But that shit scarred the hell out of me, so it worked. I didn't want to fucking go.
I can tell you one thing that don't really happen in prison like they try to make it. The rape activity, it don't really happen in prison. That shit don't happen like that. That shit is, may have happened in like the 90s, like the 80s and 90s, but now.
I like that no more.
That shit don't happen like that. If niggas is giving up booty, they giving up booty. That's just what it is.
So ain't nobody got to take nothing.
Ain't nobody got to take nothing. If it's somebody, look, I promise you, if it's somebody on that cell block or three or four cell blocks.
And they put all the like gay men in one area too now. Because when my uncle was a prison guard, he was like, they have them in their own little areas.
Yeah, because
I bet it was glitter and shit everywhere.
And he was saying how go ahead.
A lot of them dudes be having like they be men, but they be having like pussies, and some of them still be having dicks, but they be having titties. Like some of them almost look like women, so they have to segregate them from the other men.
Right. Yeah.
Or they would be getting raped, because for somebody who's been in prison 30 years, ain't been around a woman and got access to somebody who looks like a woman, they gonna take it. I promise you, with no hesitation, they gonna take it. From the moment they see you, they planning on how they gonna take it.
Oh, shit, no.
That's what kind of happened in prison.
Hell no.
I'm good. That's too much. That's Hey, your booty hole shit. How you
I'm not, no. I mean, I was just sitting here just like looking at this dude like, is this nigga really trying to sell prison to me?
That's what it sounds like.
I'm like, no.
He probably was fantasizing about you being
probably like, would.
Hey, but some people are insecure. Hey, in prison boundaries are everything.
You said prison boundaries?
In prison boundaries are everything. That is number one key. If you don't have boundaries, you have nothing in prison. So, I mean, the topic is about sexual boundaries, and sexual boundaries is the number one thing. Like, boundaries number one in prison. Like, you don't cross no boundaries. If somebody's not talking to you directly about anything, you have nothing to do with it. So what, you witnessed it? You have nothing to do with it. If you see somebody get hemmed up by three niggas in the shower and they fucking the shit out of them and you watching, that's all you better do is watch. You better not going in, and you better not say nothing about what you seen, because that ain't got nothing to do with you.
Damn.
Fuck around and get they hoe resigned.
So if somebody was trying to sell you on prison, that's because they was institutionalized. They used to it. That's where they feel safe.
Damn.
I mean, because, you know, he was like, oh, yeah, well, you know what? He was in prison. He tell everybody about it. He come out, well, most of the jobs he work at, the only place he feel comfortable is if it's full of inmates there. It was like a place they hire nothing but convicts there. And he said he felt safe there.
Because he was so used to it.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's what you call it being institutionalized. I mean, the system worked. The system worked on him.
Right. Damn.
Yeah.
I think that's why my daddy like going to prison, because he ain't got to pay no bills. He sure ain't finna pay no back child support. So.
The crazy thing is, it ain't got nothing to do with that. Look, everybody needs structure in their life. And with structure come boundaries. Everybody don't respond to the same structure and boundaries.
That's true.
Right. That's why he like going back to prison. And I know he got a boyfriend in there too. He think I don't know. I know.
That's just the structure and boundary that he respond to.
Mm-hmm.
His boyfriend.
He got a couple punks in there. I know. He ain't fooling me. They want to pay child support for me. They can't. Shit. I just
need money. You can get up off this radio. You can
that nigga owe me about $40,000. I need all of that.
Man, y'all, I'm getting hungry. Who got the food?
Press, you better feed him.
Press, don't you? Didn't you cook, Press?
Mm-hmm. I'm over here eating now.
Girl. What's that? Mac and cheese, greens, what's that? What you
gonna do?
You're trying to be funny.
You gonna see it on my face?
Yeah.
D-Rex said send him a plate.
Oh, I thought he said, am I gonna sit it on his face? Oh, my bad.
He said that. He said it loud and clear.
That's exactly what I said.
You need to quit playing on my top. That's what you need to quit doing.
But I'm trying to play on the bottom, not the top.
All right.
And well,
you ain't ready for it. You scared.
I'm gonna go get me some Jack in the Crack.
Some Jack in the Box.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, y'all. We gonna wrap it up because we run out of time. But before we leave, D-Wag, give everybody your information. How can they contact you?
Man, you can find me on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. It's at your boy D-Wack. That's YABOYWACC. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm whack like that. And we get out on the niceness. Be looking out for that motherfucking YouTube podcast coming out. It's going to be me and your girl, Pressure Pre, because we're bringing the pressure. You feel me?
Hey. All right, y'all. Y'all heard it here first. Don't forget to like, share, and support the podcast. And always remember to embrace your sexuality and express it freely. Ladies, your pussy deserves the best, nothing less. And fellas, grip your dick tight, show us some love. All right, y'all. Peace.